you see as kind of the definition of hip hop?
Hip hop is a culture, man. Like, hip hop is basically at the root a form of expression. That's all we do at these shows. We express ourselves through music, through art, through whatever, performance art, whatever. It's just simply a form of expression.
And why do you feel this particular form of expression is under attack by authorities?
You know what? I couldn't answer that. That's the question you would have to ask them. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I'm doing is just trying to express myself, make music, and, you know, get up out of poverty. You know what I'm saying? So that's what my stance is. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, when you find out, when you talk to Constantine Sevier, let's get you back on and see what he has to say, if he addresses any of these concerns, and we'll hopefully we'll try and talk to him as well. I've been speaking with Glenn Waco. Glenn, do you have a place online where people can find you or find information?
You can just follow me at Glenn Waco on Twitter.
Well, thanks so much. Again, at Glenn Waco, that's W-A-C-O on Twitter, and he is a local hip-hop artist here in the Portland area. Thanks so much for joining us today, Glenn.
Thank you.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
Get to know your candidates for the 2014 KBOO Board of Directors.
On-air candidate forums will take place Monday through Friday, September 8th through the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Morning Talk Radio.
Listen in to KBOO every weekday morning, September 8th through the 12th, for the Board of Directors candidate forums. And call in with your questions.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Triangle Productions premiere of Tick, Tick, Boom, a play by Jonathan Larson. Tick, Tick, Boom is a three-chapter pop-rock musical about facing crossroads in life and holding on to your dreams that was first produced off-Broadway in 2001. Tick, Tick, Boom plays at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland, from September 4th through the 27th. More information about Tick, Tick, Boom can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6:02. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Right to Survive Radio is next.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7. in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chain.
Have the power to break the chain. Now that's a powerful statement for solidarity. I'm your host, Lisa Fay, and on today's show, we have a mix of people, community organizers. Some have experienced houselessness, but all are aware of the powerful events happening this month here in Portland. This show centers around the Pacific Northwest Social Forum, happening September 26th through 28th. Folks from around the Northwest region and Lower Canada are coming here to the First Unitarian Church to participate in a People's Movement Assembly process that helps to lay the groundwork for the U.S. Social Forum. The PMAs have subject themes like food sovereignty, climate justice, environment, Native American treaty rights, and housing and homeless issues. Each have three-hour workshops to learn about and connect common struggles. By the end of the Pacific Northwest Social Forum, folks will have come together showing how each PMA is a link with solidarity and have a unifying message to take to the U.S. Social Forum. For more information on the Pacific Northwest Social Forum, or if this is something you would like to attend, here is the web address. PNWSF.org, and the Pacific Northwest Social Forum can also be found on Facebook. At the end of our show, I will also be replaying the Cascadia Media Convergence promo for those who didn't write it down from our last show, as well as giving you the web address again for the social forum.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on 90.7 FM. And today we're in a houseless community in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero. And our topic is the Pacific Northwest Social Forum. And today we're here with
Greg Margolis.
And Greg, have you ever been houseless?
No, I haven't been houseless in the way that it's normally understood. I've lived out of a van, but I did that intentionally when I was traveling. But no, I have not been truly houseless.
That was back.
It was actually in 1976, the bicentennial. I traveled in a van across the country and lived out of my van.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great. But you're involved with the houseless community, per se, and you do some things with them.
Yes, that's correct. I found out about Right to Dream 2 and knew some folks involved, including yourself, or got to know you through that. I knew Trillium from before that and some other folks, and was really inspired by what was being done at Right to Dream 2, which the model of a rest area made so much sense in terms of the needs of people who are living on the streets, in terms of I began to understand the need to get a good night's rest and how not being able to sleep in peace and without fear and in difficult physical conditions makes it impossible for anyone to overcome the conditions that they're living in. So I was really, like I say, inspired by that model and got involved with the organization and spent some time down with the people at the rest area, and then kind of got involved in this in fighting the fines that the city put against Right to Dream 2 and getting into the legal issues about that, and from that developed kind of a closer relationship, and we've been working together on that.
And you found a lot of things, and in your finding, we know that on the government, I'm going to say the government, they portray the houseless people as being very negative, in a negative environment. And this is why I ask people, have you did anything before you became houseless?
Right.
And now they're finding out the truth. And the truth you found out is that what you just explained to yourself.
Yeah.
We're smart, we're educated,
right.
We're attractive.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well,
speak for yourself, John, right?
No, you make a really good point. And the fact is that people, you know, there are people in our society who do have problems like addiction problems and mental health problems. So we should be providing services for those people, not making their conditions worse. Mm-hmm. But that's only one segment of the houseless community. And a lot of those people are veterans who served our country and served us and supposedly protected us. I don't mm-hmm. know about that, but they put their lives on the line, and yet they're being treated terribly by this corrupt government we have. And I think the corporate media is the one that portrays houseless people mm-hmm. the way they do. And more and more regular middle class, formerly homeowning workers are losing their jobs, can no longer afford their mortgage, can't afford rent, and are becoming houseless as well. So this is a growing condition that is bringing in a broader segment of the community. And yeah, we're all human beings. When I go down to the rest area, I'm just amazed by the quality of the human beings that are there, and despite problems that they're having or struggles they're having, it's no better or worse than the people in the house community. And it's great that it's a place where people can organize democratically and independently for their own needs rather than relying on the government to do it for them. Although the government should be providing services for the needs of people, this is real grassroots organizing to me, what's taking place.
Exactly. Along with this, it comes poverty. I mean, people I think they look at homelessness or houselessness and poverty in a different aspect. Is it the same?
Well, poverty leads to homelessness or houselessness. It's a problem that has been created by kind of a capitalist economic system that's become runaway free market, unregulated corporate capitalism, which the only purpose of which is to increase profit and not to serve the needs of the community. Mm-hmm. So I think part of the problem that we're fighting against is a systemic one where there's more economic inequality and more people with less and less to live on and more of our resources and our wealth going to a smaller and smaller segment of the population.
Do you think America is a poverty-stricken nation?
Yes, I think it's becoming more and more like that. I think that the United States has, for many decades, had a larger or bigger standard of living, better standard of living for most workers and most people after World War II and the military-industrial complex and kind of the growth, the economic growth. And because we went to other countries and exploited their labor, exploited their resources, and we're using it here. But in the meantime, the workers' rights have eroded over the last three or four decades to the point where workers are making less despite things costing more. They have poorer working conditions. And basically, we're becoming like those countries that we exploited. Mm-hmm. And so we're reaping what we sow, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we're understanding more how people in third world countries, so-called third world countries, like the Global South, how their poverty is affected by exploitation and corruption and this capitalist system. And I think of it more as a global corporate capitalist system. You know, I'm not talking about mom and pop restaurants and stores and that kind of thing, but these big mega corporations that have taken over everything and are destroying the planet as well.
So, and you said earlier in your statement that poverty leads to homelessness. Now, what produces poverty?
Well, as I said, I mean, it's the inequitable distribution of wealth. You can look at charts. Economist Marty Hart Landsberg, who you know, makes some really good charts or shows some really good charts and writes articles about how workers' wages have been flat over the last 30 or 40 years while profit has gone up, you know, 300 or 400%. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that workers haven't been well organized to fight back against that. But also the elite who run the economies use a lot of different tools to create that inequity. Among them are things like global trade, like the WTO and now the Trans-Pacific Partnership, those kind of trade agreements that allow corporations to exploit workers in other countries. Mm-hmm. And still make their profit and take away jobs here. But so they're both hurting people here and they're hurting people in other countries. But then instead of the workers saying it's the corporation's fault, they say it's the workers in the other country. Yeah. And that isn't the problem. That isn't the problem. The problem is that they're manipulating it for profit. They don't care about human need. They don't care about the environment. And they're destroying all of this. And we have to build a movement to stop it or future generations just aren't going to have a planet to live on anymore.
So I interview some houseless people, as I normally do, because this is a radio show where houseless people can voice their opinion and say things and be heard, where main media won't let that happen. So with what you're saying is that people, poverty come and then homelessness. So do you think poverty is created in certain geographical areas of this city, of this state, of this country?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, for instance, if you look at Portland, there's a history of gentrification, where lower-income communities of color, for the most part, are being squeezed out of their communities that used to be more vibrant economically and culturally vibrant communities with good racial mix of people. And a lot of those people are being forced out because, again, of the profit motive, because you bring in richer, you know, white and people of color. There are some of both that have the money to be able to buy things. But the idea is it mostly affects poor and communities of color, where they're pushed out and where they have been historically left out of the economic boom that we've had, past that we've had. And that's institutional racism is the reason for that. And it still exists. And we see it with lease conduct and a lot of other ways. So, you know, I think we do see it. Portland is a pretty white town. Oregon is pretty white. But we do see the inequity, the racial inequity that exists here. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things we need to fight against.
Yeah. So I know it's a book out there or some kind of literature called The Broken Window Theory, where poverty is created when the rich developers see this land that they want, don't want to pay face value, so they make it depreciate, and then they come in and buy it cheap and build it up. And that's happening all over this country, and I guess it's happening in the world. But as you stated, Portland is a white city, so it's affecting not just, poverty is affecting not just the people of color, but everybody now, because if it's one mass of ethnicity in a certain area, and the greedy, the people with the terrible tools, the provocateurs, want that land. They don't care who you are.
You're exactly right. And if you go down to the rest area, you see, frankly, mostly white people, and, and they're affected by these conditions. And you hear the stories, and I've heard them, stories of people who used to have decent-paying jobs, either be able to rent without a problem or pay a mortgage, who have been foreclosed or no longer could afford to pay rent. And there's no safety net that really takes care of people. And in a white community, you're going to see more white people affected.
Exactly.
So it's an equalizer in a way, but not a good one, because we don't want anybody to have to face these kinds of conditions.
So now that you heard about houselessness and you knew about poverty and you knew, you met some of the people and you say, hey, these are not the no teeth, urine drenched clothes, wearing alcohol, people standing by a barrel with their hands out, give me more money so I can get drunk. Right. This is different type of poverty, different type of houselessness. Why are these people houseless? What, in your opinion, what can we do to get together to fight this thing that's going on?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to your organizations, the Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2, because not only do they address the, at least a transition for the underlying problem, which the rest area is to me, but it provides it in a way that people can organize themselves, can learn from each other, educate each other, become politically active and conscious, and also regain self-worth and eventually be able to get a job, and I hate to say move back into the mainstream, but be able to survive in the world in a way that they weren't able to before. So to me, that's a great model for grassroots organizing. And I think that as we're trying to do, to get more rest areas around town that provide that same kind of model. And it's critical that it has the organizing component, the democratically operated component, rather than having some nonprofit come from out of there with paid staff, you know, creating it like the Bud Clark Center or something like that. It makes a huge difference in terms of how people kind of raise their political consciousness and their activism. So that's one way to do it. I mean, there's a lot of ways, unfortunately, in which we can organize because there are so many problems.
Well, I know you heard of it before. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 on your radio dial. Today we're in a houseless community in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero, and our topic is Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly, and that's one of the roads to the U.S. Social Forum. Now, we're in a houseless community. We know about poverty. We know about what the government is not doing. So I'm just going to talk to some houseless people and then hopefully they get some organizers on here, but they're very busy right now. So our show is going to be about the Pacific Northwest Social Forum. Here with me is
Roy.
Can you tell me about the poverty in this country?
Well, poverty's been a real big problem for many years. It makes it so it's difficult for many people to be able to live. It makes it even more difficult for the homeless people to be able to rise above an acceptable level of being able to live, much less survive. It's hard enough for people that have jobs to strive above poverty level because the wages are so low, the rents are so high, and even buying things that are necessary like food, toiletries, stuff like that, it becomes so expensive we can't afford it anymore. It makes it even harder for the homeless because it makes it difficult to obtain jobs that are high enough for our standards to be able to get off the streets, much less being able to survive. There's people that live on the streets who have jobs.
This is America, right? Richest country in the world. And if they're the richest country in the world, why do they have more poverty here than in other countries?
Well, in my experience, from what I've seen, being so-called the richest country in the world, we seem to look to others instead of looking in our own backyard. We look at other countries and try and support them instead of looking where we need it the most, with our own people within the United States. There's many different people that have come from different countries to live here and that are faced with the same problem that all Americans face. The poverty level is at the point that the United States just don't take care of us.
That's a good roundabout way of putting it. So, do you know about the broken window theory? The broken window theory is when these rich developers want a community or a neighborhood, they'll take one house and make it look bad, and then your property values and stuff start depreciating, and then you can't get money to fix or to repair your house, and so that house started looking bad, and pretty soon you got the whole neighborhood looking bad. Then they infiltrated with drug dealers and undesirable and stuff, and then they come in and buy your property cheap, and a rich land developer build up on it and make it good. So that's on reconstruction and redoing things, but where are those low income to no income people going to go in this country?
Well, that's what makes it difficult. They would end up trying to find some other neighborhood that is suitable for their financial means, or the worst part of it, they end up becoming homeless and have nowhere to go. It's a matter of taking what they have and giving them less. And then we have to struggle and try and get back up to the top. And sometimes that can take years, as to where a landowner, in a matter of months, can destroy a whole neighborhood.
And with that in mind, look at all these big cities. These big chocolate cities, CC, like Detroit, Benton Harbor, Atlanta, Jackson, Mississippi, you know, Chicago, you know, all these, Cleveland, all these cities that is more populated by people of color are being destroyed. No resources, no good food, no good law enforcement there, no good education or nothing. So do you think it's poverty is attacked on people of color and now it's infiltrating into the white community?
Actually, yeah, I do. That's been an ongoing battle for the people of color for many years, a struggle they've been fighting with and just can't rise above. I see it going into every color of population. The people of color have struggled with it for so many years, learned to adapt to it, and now the white people, as well as many other races, are going to have to learn to do the same thing, to rise above where they're at with what little they have to work with, because the government's not doing any good to help. The city officials just keep us bound by their laws, rules, regulations, and ordinances. And there's no way that we can rise above it because they keep creating more ordinances. It's not only just the people of color, it's all races now.
So don't you think it should be a cry out or a big protest or rally or to get the attention of the politicians so they can stop doing this and make everything livable and feasible for all the people in this country?
Actually, yes, I do. Solidarity seems to be the greatest in larger numbers. And that's what the politicians and city officials seem to listen to. If we scream loud enough, they hear us. If we scream long enough, they need to do something about it.
So, but what else can we do? This is what else. Have you heard about the Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly, which is going to happen September 26th through the 28th here in Portland, Oregon at the First Unitarian Church on 1211 Southwest Main Street?
Yeah, I have heard about it. That's where there's many people coming from many areas across the United States and many cities that come together. And in my opinion, I think that's where all of us should pick one day throughout the entire United States and all scream all at once. This is what we need. This is how we survive. This is what we need to survive. Everybody all at once. We all connect in solidarity all at the same time. They've got to hear us. We need to make them hear us with all of us all at once.
You know, this is part of the U.S. social form, and the U.S. social form is part of the world social form. Probably it's not just happening in your neighborhood or in your city or in your state or in your country. It's happening all over the world. But the thing is that what's so interesting about this part of the country is that it's more white people that's living on the street than people of color. And that's because poverty has come to an area where you don't have that many people of color. So we can't say it's targeting people of color. We can say it's targeting low income and the poor or the no income.
Yeah, for the most part, it's targeting the people of no income.
Yeah.
And that's where I see it hitting every race, not just people of color.
Yeah.
Hitting everybody all over the United States and all over the world.
So one way that we can fight and rally and establish our own is come to the Pacific Northwest Movement Assembly and learn what active can participate in to be active.
Yes, if we all gather together at the Pacific Northwest People's Movement Assembly, we can all learn how to come together in solidarity and try and solve this problem, try and beat this problem all together, and learn as much as we can to know our rights, to know the bigger part of the problem, and how to solve the problem all together.
KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero in the Houseless Community. And our topic is the Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly. And today I'm here with...
Travis.
Travis. Or how long have you been houseless?
I've been houseless for at least a good month or so.
And this is your first time ever being houseless?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It has.
We got a rookie, y'all. We got a rookie on board. A newbie, a rookie, a first timer, whatever. We're going to have fun right now. How did you become houseless?
I became houseless because I had lost my apartment from the, I was at the 8x8. I was kicked out. It had happened. I became homeless. So I had turned over here to R2D2 for help and became a member. This place has given me a great deal of help when I needed it and I didn't have nowhere place to go. I didn't want to become homeless. I didn't choose that route, but that's the only route that was taken for me at that time. Living on the streets was not a easy thing for me, easy task. You know, just trying to make ends meet or trying to survive out there on the streets was hard enough as it is. So I had to stand up and do something for myself, which I did. I had my first job interview today. But, you know, I can also say that being here at R2T2 has given an experience at dealing with the homeless on the outside to what it was like, because I was there myself and not having where to go. It was a tough, very tough thing for me to do. A lot of people don't have that choice, you know, when they become homeless, you know, and never giving up. It's always going forward, not backwards, the way I see things. You know, the way God would want you to do is go forward instead of get about what's in the past, move forward what you've got, you know. When I got my own housing, you know, I just walked in there with one of the clothes on my back. That's all I had, you know. Being at R2D2 was a step up from that. It's like a stepping stone to gather your information.
This is the question Inquiry Minds wants to know. When you was housed and the struggle was here on the streets, people fighting for their rights and going to City Hall and being tear gassed and arrested for exercising their human rights and stuff, where were you?
I was still homeless.
I mean, reason why I asked that, because so many people, before they get ready to get homeless, or they become homeless for the first time, they wasn't around when we needed help with solidarity. And is that because you're unfamiliar with it? I mean, you know it's there, and you see it, like you say, it was all around you. And I want to know, do they have a different outlook on houseless now when they was inside and now they houseless, or a different outlook on poverty?
I think they have a different outlook on when they were housed. But it depends how you utilize that when you get your housing. You can make a difference. You know, you can show somebody out there that, okay, yeah, I made a difference myself. I got up, did something about it.
Okay, now tell me this. Is getting up doing something only when you're in that predicament?
I think you can, if you believe in yourself, that you can get up and do something and you can make that problem go away. I mean, you don't have to.
So before this, I'm talking about before you ever became housed, where was the participation and the support and the solidarity? And we usually don't get that from people until they become housed or before they know they're going to become housed. Because I get calls all kinds from different cities, states, different times of the night and day saying, I'm ready to become homeless and I don't know what to do. Are those people going to kill me and stuff like that because what they see on television?
I think that's a big part of it too, because a lot of people do worry about when they are homeless. They feel that they're being targeted by the police. You know, they're going to be arrested for illegal camping somewhere or just on a sidewalk, you know, just sitting there trying to get somewhere. I think there's a lot of people that out there that still don't know what the resources are unless somebody comes up and tells them, okay, this is what you can do for yourself. This is what it's all based on. You can start at, you know, you can start here at R2D2 as a stepping stone, to know the community a little bit more. You know, you have a safe place to be out here in the community while you're outside.
Okay. Now, you know that America is really poverty stricken.
Right. Yes, correct. Yes.
If it wasn't, you know, the middle class wouldn't be disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, why is all of America's major cities is becoming places of poverty and destroying the city and the concept of city life?
I think people choose how they have a perspective on life and how they want to live their life. That's why.
Wasn't the American government making these cities into no man's land?
Pretty much. You know, that's why you see now that on the news they're trying to get more housing established for the people that are homeless out there.
And also in some of these cities, they making CEOs of big companies controlling the city. Like, they don't have no mayor in Benton Harbor, it's the corporation that's controlling the city. And they trying to do that in Detroit, Jackson, Mississippi, and other places. They trying to get these people who run business to run the city, so the city is just going to be a big business. And if you don't patronize this, the low income got to go. And so what can we do to fight poverty that's being established in this country? And when I say established, I mean being dictated to, being created. So the billionaire rich developers can come in and develop.
No, I just say keep fighting. I mean, keep fighting for what's your right. I think everybody that's still homeless out there still does have a right to sit where they need to sit where they want to sit. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, yeah, cops do have to come up there and harass them, you know, and say you can't be here, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no... You know, when I was homeless, I do know one thing that, you know, when I was harassed by the cops, they said I couldn't sit here or I could not be here. And I would say, okay, well, where's the sign saying I cannot be here? There is no sign.
Have you ever heard of the World Social Forum or the U.S. Social Forum?
I've heard of that, yes.
It's an event where poverty groups around the world or around this country get together and go to a poverty-stricken city or state or country and see what they can do to uplift that city, state, or country. So the last one they had here in America was the U.S. Social Forum in 2010 in Detroit, when they was trying to make the city like a business and put a CEO in charge of the city. They didn't have no firemen, the policemen was going on strike, the E-units, the medical people was going on strike, the postal service was going on strike, and pretty soon you got this big city and it's all depreciated. So what happened is all the organizations in this country that fight poverty get together and have an event called the Social Forum. Now, we already have one here in Portland, Oregon, called the Pacific Northwest Social Forum, or the Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly. So in listening to you and your story and the detail, how you became how you thought about houses before you became houses, and how you realized the reality of this country once you became houses, what you had to do. But still, people have to gather together with different groups and learn these PMA, People Movement Assembly, and learn how to fight with one another and fight poverty. Because if you don't get within the system, due process is going to take its place. Do you know about the Pacific Northwest Social Forum that's going to happen here?
I just know that I would like to see more of these events happening, to see another one of these go up again.
And so also what we need is the people to learn how to fight. You just can't go fight. Because these provocateurs are smart. So maybe you and you can bring some of your friends, a whole bunch of them, not just a couple, and come to the Pacific Northwest Social Forum.
It will be September 26th to the 28th, 2014, at the First Unitarian Church. So yes, I will bring some friends with me.
So all you listening to our audience today, Travis invite you to come to the Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly at the First Unitarian Church, September 26th through the 28th, 2014. Thank you. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in Portland, Oregon, Ground Zero in the houseless community. And our topic is the Pacific Northwest People Movement Assembly, which is the road to the U.S. Social Forum. And today I'm here with...
Amber Dunks.
Amber Dunks, how are you today?
Good.
Great. How long have you been houseless?
3 years, 1 month, and 9 days.
And what did you do before you became houseless?
I was in Coos Bay working at a inbound telemarketing firm, buying a house, had everything set, and I just kind of had a nervous breakdown. And
before you became houseless or in a situation, did you ever think about houselessness or volunteer helping out to houseless people?
You know, I knew there were houseless people out there. I saw houseless people out there. I was actually more scared of them than anything. Basically, every single myth that they had, I bought into it until I became one. And I saw that things are just a little bit different, and they're actually the best group of people I've ever known.
So how did you overcome that fear? Because you said, like, you was in Coos Bay work, then you got robbed, and bam, you was in the houseless community? Or was that like a shock and you had to deal with something?
I was scared to death. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. I was walking up Burnside to the Salvation Army Church because it happened to be a Sunday that I became houseless, ironically enough. And I saw the cops waking people up. And at that point, I was scared of the houseless people. I became more afraid of the cops real quick at that point when I saw them yelling and screaming and kicking people to wake them up. And I knew that was going to be me the next morning if I didn't find a place to sleep.
So why do you think this country or this city promotes negativity on houseless people?
You know, I have my first theory is because nobody wants to think that it's going to be them, so they try to almost make fun of the problem. And by showing that violence and all those negative stereotypes and perpetuating that on a daily basis in the media, everywhere else, they can kind of separate themselves from that because they don't want to think that it could be them. And my other theory is I think we've had a really moral breakdown in this country to where people are getting so desensitized towards violence and more thinking that it's okay to treat their fellow human being badly, that people no longer care until it is them.
How many cities do you think is in poverty in this country?
I think the whole state is pretty much economically depressed. In this country, gosh, it'd be hard to count, but most of the urban areas, I would say, except for possibly in Montana and North Dakota, they have a really strong economy right now. More and more of the rural communities are becoming economically depressed also.
So what about neighborhoods?
It depends on where you live. I've noticed that there's been a lot of gentrifying where they try to group not just people of color into one place, but economic status. You know, if you make a lot of money, you live in a nice, big, huge, fancy house on the hill. If you don't make a lot of money, you're cramped in like sardines into little apartments.
So how can you have one neighborhood prosperous and another neighborhood like a ghost town?
Voter and taxpayer interests.
So before you was houseless, you didn't think about the problems that existed in the houseless community because you didn't socialize with them, really. I mean, you was in a different economic status. Now you become houseless. Now all the reality is, bam, slap you in your face. And I didn't know this was going on. What should I do about it? Do you think that's a lot of reason why we have houseless people? I mean, number one, because they don't get the support and the solidarity from house people?
I think a big part of it is support and solidarity. I think another part of it is the system is really designed to keep you down and keep you oppressed. You go and you spin in circles and spin in circles, and there's just so many hoops to go through. People get so hopeless out here because they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. Also, the minimum wage is not a living wage. And the economy, I did some research. Apparently the economy has not been good since before I was born. You know, people are looking, but a lot of places aren't hiring and they want the younger people with less experience so they can pay them less. Yeah.
So what should we do as houseless activists, as a community, as a city, as a people of this country?
We should form relationships and build solidarity across all movements because all movements really, if you look at the bigger picture, all movements really reflect into one movement. Just keep talking to people. Keep getting your word out there. Let people wake up and realize that there really is more of us than there are of them. And if we all band together instead of being divided by the small stuff and just stand up and say, this isn't right, if everyone from every movement unites like that, we can make some major change in this country, I think.
So I know something on how you get involved with something what you just said. On September 26th to the 28th of this year, at the First Unitarian Church, we have a Pacific Northwest Social Forum with a People Movement Assembly, PMA, and that's when all organizations that's fighting poverty and dealing with poverty get together and have conversation on how we can defeat poverty and homelessness.
Really? That is so awesome. Yeah.
And so, have you ever heard of anything like that, like the U.S. Social Forum, the World Social Forum?
I think the last one was in Detroit.
Yeah. So how can we get the community, the houseless community, and the house community together to participate in these very urgent matters?
Get out there, get the word out, get flyers out, invite them to participate. What I'd love to see is because we all know these sort of things cost money to put it on, so they're going to unfortunately have to charge something for people to attend. Maybe groups do scholarships for people who can't do, or do some kind of barter for a chance to go to some of these workshops.
So for now that you know about this, I hope that you will keep this fire going to participate and to educate the houseless community as well as the house people, because, you know, as you saying, and as I interview people, this is our third year being on cable, and a lot of people never took the fight to help the houseless people, and then when they became houseless, they looked at this reality thing. So again, on what you're saying, what do we need to do?
I think we need to have a conversation about ways we can change that, which these PMAs sound like a good way to start. But overall, even without the PMAs, everything else, I think I would love to see people exercise a little more compassion. And I'd love to see the country get back at least to where I know in a lot of rural communities, everyone bands together and helps each other. I don't really see that in the bigger cities.
Anything else you want to say?
House keys, not handcuffs.
Hey, thank you very much.
Things will never be the same.
That's
just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live. And let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, it is.
That's just the way it is.
These, unfortunately, in which we can organize because there are so many problems.
Well, I know you heard of the World Social Forum and the U.S. Social Forum. I mean, can you give us a brief, maybe a minute of your knowledge on that?
Okay. Well, I didn't have a lot of knowledge until 2010, and I went to the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit, and I thought it was a very inspiring. There were like 15 to 20,000 people who went to that. And it's the Social Forum is around, it focuses kind of more on cultural, indigenous, communities of color, anti-capitalist kind of framework. It was just inspiring to have so many people of so many different from so many different places. I'm not an expert on the history of the Social Forum, but I know it's an organization that the World Social Forum has had huge social forums in other countries, and there have been two, I think, previous social forums, one in Atlanta and the one in Detroit here, and working towards a third social forum with some regional social forums.
And so that's what I want to get into. I was invited to be on that planning committee for the U.S. Social Forum, and I noticed that it was talking about poverty in just the people of color community, like Chicago, Detroit, Jackson, Mississippi, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and so forth. And I said, you know what? I see a different side of poverty, of homelessness, because in Portland, by being a white city, you see white people living in the streets and getting criminalized for exercising their human constitutional civil rights. And now they come in here September 26th through the 28th, and it's going to be the Pacific Northwest Social Forum. And you and that, you part of organizing that. And can you explain to us what it's going to be like and what's involved?
Sure. And by the way, I have you to thank for being part of the planning. You had brought this back to Jobs with Justice, and I pledged to help you with getting started in that, and then now I'm knee-deep in it. But it's going to be a great event. It is regional, so it's going to involve people who are going to be coming from north, south, and east of Portland, including as far as Canada. People will be coming down from Canada. And it's going to be at the First Unitarian Church downtown Portland. On the 26th in the evening is going to be a benefit concert by Mike Crenshaw and a number of groups. The money that's going to be raised is going to be for an African village that he visited to get them computers for their local school there. So it's a really good event for donating for that. And that is the Friday the 26th from 7 to 10, I believe. Then the actual social forum is going to be on Saturday the 27th. It's going to go from morning 9 or 10 a.m. to into the evening 8 or 9 p.m. And it's a process within which there are going to be PMAs, which you mentioned earlier, People's Movement Assemblies, that are basically groups getting together around certain issues to follow a certain format of discussion that will lead to action items, actions that can actually be done to lead to solutions. And there's going to be things on indigenous rights, democracy, and move to amend, you know, to get a real democracy back, labor rights, environmental rights, and a variety of these different PMAs that are going to happen in the middle of this process. And people will come back and then talk about it and come up with some actual action items to do and just get us better organized to deal with this system that is not only hurting people, but it's really destroying the planet environmentally too, which is a big part of it. And then the last thing is on Sunday the 28th, there's going to be a direct action in Portland. We haven't put out a lot of details about it yet. It's still a little bit in the planning, but it's going to be from noon till 2 on Sunday, meeting downtown and doing a bit of a rally and march and action. So, yeah.
And so you think this would stop or bring awareness to the people here in Portland, Oregon, who I think is blindsided by poverty and houselessness, creating havoc in the low-income bracket where now the middle class is the low income now.
Well, I wish, you know, it'd be easy for me to say this is a great opportunity for people to become aware and open their eyes. Unfortunately, with a lot of these kind of events, I think the real work that's going to get people who are not otherwise involved or educated to this stuff is through things like Right to Dream 2, through grassroots organizing that goes out to workers and to homeless and other folks who are suffering from this economic system, talking to them about solutions and why the problem exists. Social forum will be great for organizers and for some rank and file type people, some regular people, to learn more and build a bigger movement. But to me, the ultimate value is in the grassroots organizing of people who aren't there yet and who are suffering the consequences but don't know why.
See, and the reason why I ask that, because, you know, I'm not popular. It's just something pop up that I like doing, and I like doing research and helping the houseless community. And I get phone calls all times of the day and night, people saying, I'm not ready to be homeless. I'm scared. They're going to kill me. They're going to rob me. What I'm going to do. Oh, I'm ready to lose my house. I got cats and stuff. People don't get involved till they get ready to get infected by the situation. Right. And Portland, I'm going to be crying out to you now, because these cities like Benton Harbor, Michigan, and Detroit, Michigan, and Jackson, Mississippi, and stuff like that are not being ran by elected officials. They being ran by what?
Well, the corporations. Oh, you're talking about like Detroit. And yeah. I didn't know about Mississippi. I kind of thought there was a people's takeover in Mississippi.
They wanted
that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and so the people took over.
The community. People in the community.
But yeah, you're right. You're going to have to do.
You're right. Detroit literally became kind of a, you know, no longer was a democracy. It was run by private corporations, a city that's run by private corporations. It's kind of ridiculous. It's how the extremes that it can go to, all over greed.
Right.
You know.
And so this is what's happening, and people not paying attention. But the houseless people see it because they was in-house. Now they know. Now they seeing reality. This is what happened.
Right.
And they got what the CEO of Nabisco running Benton Harbor, Michigan, you know, and that could easily happen here because look what the Pearl District did to Charlie Hale. They said, no, see, no, it's holding people over there. We don't pour your money out your campaign. And he said, okay.
But if you're strong and you negotiate well, you can get something valuable out of that kind of movement. And I think that happened with Right to Dream, too. I think it's a very interesting the way that that developed with the Pearl District. Yeah. It's a long story, and maybe someday somebody will write a book about it.
Hopefully. But see, it opened my eyes to more political nonsense and craziness and greed that they can do anything they want to do.
That's right.
You got the money.
Well,
And that's when they're going to redline. They're going to stop you from going in here. They're going to make your community weak and depreciating all your hard-earned money. They don't care about you breaking your back, trying to get your nest egg cut. They're going to get rid of you. Yeah. So what I'm crying out, and what Greg and I is crying out to you, get involved in these PMAs and come to the Pacific Northwest Social Forum before it happened to you. You'll know what to happen and help the people at Right to Dream to a Houseless Person.
You just said it. You said it all. I guess I would encourage people to go if you're on Facebook. There's a Facebook event. Just go to your calendar and go to the 26th and find out more about it and come by. You can go to the U.S. Social Forum website at www.ussocialforum.net/about. Anyway, if you do that, and then you can go to our local Facebook page and get more information. And then, you know, it doesn't stop there. I really suggest that people go down to RightStream 2 and see how they operate and talk to people there and kind of, you know, broaden the message, take the message out to the community that we're all in this together. And there are solutions, but they're going to be solutions that are with the people, not operations.
So all you houseless people or want to be houseless people and you house people, let's come together and go to the Pacific Northwest people, which is leading to the U.S. Social Forum in 2015-16. One of those years. Yeah. It's going to lead to it. They don't know yet, but it's going to happen. So we thank you for listening. And if you want to know more, come down and write your dream too and find out more about the Pacific Northwest Social Forum. Thank you, Mark.
Join us for the inaugural Cascade Media Convergence September 19th through the 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center in downtown Portland, Oregon. The CMC will be a regional gathering of community-based media organizations, journalists, and artists to come together to network, explore democratic models of media production and distribution, and discuss ways to continue collaboration and build toward a regional media coalition. Events will include workshops, facilitated strategy sessions, and evening events featuring the best in socially conscious art. For more information, visit www.cascademedia.cc.
Here are the web addresses one more time for all those interested in registering for one or both of these charged and unifying events. The Cascadia Media Convergence can be found at cascademedia.cc. And they also have a Facebook page. The Pacific Northwest Social Forum can be found at pnwsf.org, and they have a Facebook page. And we can be found on Facebook as well, or at www.wordpress.com, or you can email us at r2spdx@gmail.com. As always, we would love to hear from you. Next month, Right to Dream 2 will be celebrating their third year of operations with a celebration of the successes that have taken place over the course of 3 years. Please look to our website for more information to come. And remember to keep a lookout for the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign as it is moving forward. Right to Survive holds their meetings every second and fourth Thursday of the month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located at 6th and Northwest Davis from 5 to 7 p.m. Or you can join us for our Under the Bridge walks the first and third Tuesdays as we distribute newsletters and donations and learn of the struggles facing those living outside. A thank you to all our listeners for tuning in and to our guests for their contributions to this show. Remember to be kind to one another. Good night. Liberty or death, man, what's the decision? No moral ambiguity, all the ingenuity thoroughly directed at war in your community. No matter what they do to me, it won't change the fact. Freedom's a human right, it's time to take them back.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you
might
manage it after.
It might get you.
I want you to think it's
suicide job, but we gon' change the game. So keep the characteristics.
basics of an American misfit in a materialistic authoritarian system. As far as human relations, we know the master plan includes self-determination for all Africans. Coming from a deficit on the edge of a precipice, exploited by greed and racial prejudice. Our president will bomb you, Iraq to Pakistan. I'm marching in Detroit to take back the land. A submerged serpent's coil purges oil. The dispersants further poison the oceans and soil. The merchants of death are certainly loyal. To murder for profit, the whole earth is embroiled. So how do we stop this obnoxious nonsense? A meeting, a forum, a concert, a conference. I understand the need to talk and process, but we need action, not just thoughts and concepts.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you
might.
Might
get you.
The one you to think is
suicide job, but we gon' change the game.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the release party for the Sexbots' new EP, Songs for Jamil, at Dante's on Sunday, September 14th at 9 p.m. Dante's is a 21 and over venue. The Sexbots are a provocative, experimental, electronic art pop act based in Portland who have a strong performance art component. Again, that's the release party for the Sexbots' new EP, Songs for Jamil, at Dante's, 350 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Come one, come all to the KBOO Community Radio Book and Record Sale, Sunday, September 14th. From 9 a.m. when the KBOO members only are allowed during the first hour of the sale, and then from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., everyone can take advantage of truly interesting and unusual books, records, CDs, tapes, videos, DVDs, whatever else has been donated. The sale will take place this year at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder in Portland. Remember, all sales benefit your community radio station. For more information about the annual book and record sale, look at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. And don't forget to tune in to KBOO Friday night at midnight for the Broken Record Show, an offbeat sound patchwork composed entirely from items for the sale and served up by various KBOO disc jockeys and voices. That's the Broken Record Show